just in case there. And so glad to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus with you. We'll be doing this for all eternity. You know, and every time Christians gather on Sunday, we say, well, Jesus rose from the dead the first day of the week. Here's some testimony songs just to keep our hearts rejoicing toward the Lord. Bill and Gloria Gaither, when they thought of the resurrection, they wrote these words. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And there's a songwriter, Sam Medley, good name for a songwriter, who wrote a great song about the resurrection, one of my favorite songs. I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives. He lives who once was dead. He lives my everlasting head. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my future to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. Wow. And then Philip Bliss wrote a lot of great songs. I will sing of my Redeemer. His triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory he gives me over sin and death and hell. Something that's true for all Christians. Victory over sin and death and hell. And so glad the Lord would provide that for us. And then for the message, looking at with you how Jesus, the risen Lord, changed a Christian killer. Okay, Saul of Tarsus, changed by the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus confronted Saul in Acts chapter 8 or 9 in there and changed his life. And we want to see that good news for our own soul and for our loved ones. Now, Saul was 100% Jewish and 100% Roman citizen. A rare combination back then, but a good combination. And he was a citizen of an important city, Tarsus. That's how he described himself in one of his testimonies in the book of Acts. He's arrested in Jerusalem. He wanted to speak to the crowd. He said, I am a citizen of no mean city or no unimportant city. And just a little bit about Tarsus. You know, we're a little part of our background. Someday you'll introduce yourself. I am so-and-so from West Virginia or West Mifflin or North Irwin, or wherever your hangout was. McKees Rocks, for myself, hometown of my friend John Kasich. I didn't know him, but went to the same area schools and so on. But getting away from politics, Saul of Tarsus. Tarsus was a very beloved city by the Romans, favorite city of Julius Caesar. A real nice city on a river, I believe. And also a favorite city of Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus said, Tarsus pays no taxes. What do you think of that? For being such a nice city. And it was the meeting place, historically, of Antony and Cleopatra. Okay? So maybe Paul's mom and dad, in around 41 BC, you know, Cleopatra comes to visit the Roman Empire. She's going to visit Antony. And some old poet said this. Now, this is Paul's hometown, remember. The whole city smelled of perfume when Cleopatra came up the river in her boat. A lot of the guys here think maybe the first time they met their, you know, sweetheart, and they think, I smelled her from all the way up the river. Maybe not quite. But, you know, it seemed like that in your heart, you know. Or vice versa nowadays with the cologne. But so there they were. The whole city could smell Cleopatra coming. And they left the marketplace with Antony seated on his chair and went out to greet Cleopatra. So you could picture Antony sitting there. Where's everybody going? Oh, it's for Cleopatra. I think I'll have to meet her also. So that's why do I tell you that? Saul's background. Okay, very important city. Saul was a big deal. And he came from a big deal place. Okay, he had a lot of things going for him. Later on, he described himself and his background is a Hebrew of Hebrews. Okay? What's that commercial that's out nowadays? Mr. Italy? Mario Perillo or somebody? Well, Paul is, he's Mr. Mr. Hebrew of Hebrews over here. Hebrew of Hebrews, he says he's a Pharisee. That would be a man who believed in the inerrancy of the Old Testament. He was kind of like a Gideon of his day. Get the Bible and get into it and do what it says. And that's Paul. He said, outwardly, he never broke God's law. Okay, as to legalistic righteousness, faultless. That was his words. As to legalistic righteousness, faultless. As some of us are like that. You know, and hopefully we don't tell others if we are. But Paul did. He said, "Up, that's the way I was. I want you to know it. I follow all God's rules and that's that." But he wasn't at peace with God. Okay, and there he goes on the road to Damascus, attempting to attack the Christians, and Jesus confronts him. And Jesus changes his name from Saul, which means asked of God, to Paul, which means little. So you can see the change that's taken place right there. Saul, asked of God, you know, Paul, little, trusting in a very big Savior. And listen to some of Paul's testimony, Saul to Paul, about the living Jesus risen from the dead. This is how it became good news for Paul in Romans. Talks about Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. You think of the power of that. Jesus risen from the dead. Muhammad, not risen from the dead. Nobody claims he did. Allah, not risen from the dead. Nobody claims he did. Buddha, same thing. One of the millions of Hindu gods, same thing. Jesus, Son of God, risen from the dead. Okay, the way to the Father. Later in Romans, we will certainly be united with Jesus in a resurrection like his. That's the Apostle Paul. He uses the word certainly. Certainly this will occur. You can know for sure that you'll be with Christ forever in heaven. Okay, let your faith be in Christ and his ability to get you there. Trust in yourself, you'll say maybe. Trust in yourself, better for you to say definitely not. Be with Christ forever. Trust in Christ. We'll certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So we give him praise. Paul went on to say this about the resurrection. He said, "You belong to Jesus who was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit to God." You belong to Jesus. How great. You know, most of your life you think, where do I fit in? Do I fit in with this family or with that family? With this workplace, community, church, do I fit in? God says, hey, you fit in with me. You fit in with God. You belong to him. No source of identity other than that will get you healthy. And you'll bear fruit and God will make you productive. Okay, you'll have a life of that counts for forever because Jesus rose from the dead. And then, here's another one focusing right in on the resurrection. Good conversion truth to share with a loved one, you know, a lost friend who just said, well, where do I start to maybe, I think I believe in Jesus, where do I start? Paul points to the resurrection. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. That's your Lord. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. You will be saved. Great gift of salvation. From that we live a life, you know, surrendered to God and in light of his mercies and so on. But again, pointing to Christ and his resurrection. He's the good news we have to bring. We don't have any good news other than that. And we're glad to have that good news. And then Paul went on to say, even in tough times, the resurrection would come through for us. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So we'll have very hard times in this life. Trials that hit every person, sickness and illness and discouragement, being emotionally in pain and other difficulties. And Jesus, we can know Him, that He suffered similar things. And of course, we'll suffer because we follow Jesus. Not many do in our country. Somebody asked the other day, has there been any martyrs in North America because of people following Jesus? So, well, I couldn't think of any, but then I thought of two acts of strong violence where Christians were killed because they were Christians down in the South Carolina church. You know, prayer meeting, 10 people, guy comes in, sits, oh, these guys are Christians, you know, happen to be of a race I don't like, so I'm going to kill them all. Witnesses, martyrs for Jesus. Columbine High School, you know, 20 years or so ago. Guys walk into a school. Do you believe in God? If you say yes, gone. Okay, the fellowship of His sufferings. Fellowship of His sufferings. And may God give us courage to be a witness for Him, martyr for Him, good ministry, voice of the martyrs, thinking of those who live like that every day now, certain parts of the world. That's the way Paul lived, certain parts of the world. And we're brothers and sisters. We pray for them. We don't overestimate the sufferings of being a Christian that we feel. Oh, somebody laughed at me and my family. Oh, the guy at work, you know, he smirked at me. The boss didn't give me a raise because I'm a Christian. Well, very, very mild, you might say, compared to, we could be a Christian in Afghanistan, you know, the door's open, we can go there and experience firsthand maybe what Paul would face and so on. Iraq, Syria, well, you can get there if you want to get there. So the fellowship of His sufferings, we don't underestimate it, but Paul said, from Christ, I can walk with Him and know the power of His resurrection in those times. And we're thankful. And then Paul said, look at life from the point of view of the resurrection. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. That doesn't mean don't think of flowers and dirt and whether your car is going to work. But it means look at the world from Jesus' point of view. Set your heart on things above. Okay, from His being King of Kings from heaven. Remember a couple weeks ago we said Jesus is King now and someday He'll be acknowledged as such. He doesn't become King later when all the sin and death and suffering are gone. Okay, Jesus, you could be King, you know, when you come back, but not until then. That's not the way it is. He's King now. Someday everybody will acknowledge that. And that's the difference that happens at His return. So for Paul, the whole universe would change, seeing things from above, because he trusted in the risen Messiah. And the changes that took place in his own soul, just things maybe we can identify with. Paul went from hard head to lover of souls. Pretty rough guy to somebody who wanted people to meet Christ. You know, somewhere in us, there's a hard soul. Some part of us. And we could become a lover of souls after that, or a hard head. Paul went from self-righteous to Jesus' righteousness. Couldn't get over the goodness of God. Couldn't get over the goodness of God given to him as a gift. Paul went from great pride, which led to his proper downfall, to simple humility. Always leaning on the Lord. And Paul went from saying, come to this religion and you might belong. Sometimes we as Christians, we make that mistake, you know. Hey, anybody going to church on Easter? Come to this religion and you might belong. That was Paul's way of dealing with Judaism. And he went from that to saying, God has come to you. Hey, the guy who didn't go to church or guy who doesn't read the Bible or guy who doesn't believe in Jesus, God has come to you. Great God, the great missionary, helped Paul become a great missionary and to belong to him. And then Paul went from a similar theme. I hope the nations come to Judaism. I hope the nations come to Judaism. He went from that to saying, I take Christ to the nations. I take Christ to the nations. Totally different perspective of looking out and being sent, as would God would send Isaiah to give testimony to him. So the changes that the Lord brought in Saul's life, he can bring to our life. And I mentioned Mary Magdalene in the first service. You know, she had a lot of changes too, and the depth of sin. She became the first one at the empty tomb, the first one to see the risen Lord, the first one to hug Jesus, and the first one to tell somebody else, I've seen the Lord. Okay. And there's Mary Magdalene. Nobody would have picked her other than God. Because her background was like the biggest sinner in Erwin. Mary Magdalene. She's the one. The biggest sinner in my family is, you think of that one or two. Or in my church, whoops, gotta think of that one. Or at my work is, they might be the one to meet Christ. Jesus introduced himself to them and really do well. One testimony in closing, which I think can tug at our souls in Jesus, bringing good news to Paul, good news to Mary Magdalene, and to you and I, and any loved one we think of. C.S. Lewis, you know, this could be Paul's testimony, or yours, or a friend of yours. Here's C.S. Lewis talking, and you can picture this taking place on resurrection morning. It's always shocking to meet God unexpectedly when we thought we were alone. Here's Mary going to the, she thinks she's alone with a couple other ladies. There's Paul and Saul on the way to Damascus, you know. God, you know, you're not going to see Jesus, that's for sure. He's dead. It's always shocking to meet God when we thought we were alone. Look out, he's alive. This is the very place where many draw back and say, I want to run from God. Lewis said, I'd have drawn back too and ran if I could. I can tolerate an imperial God. The God upstairs, the man upstairs. That's good. God is a good idea. Like truth and beauty. What can it hurt to believe in God? Or better yet, God can be whatever I think he is. That's a big thing nowadays, inside and outside the church. God can be whatever I think he is. I can deal with that. But if God himself was alive, pulling at my soul, seeking me, loving me, well, that would be frightening. When children play burglars in the house, often they stop and say, what was that? Was that real footsteps I heard in the hallway? Was that a thief in the night? The real one coming for us? There's a point when, even when we dabble with God, we get frightened and realize he's here. He is alive. He's seeking you. He's loving you. He's offering to forgive you. We just might fear God enough to believe in him, because the Son of God, fully divine and fully human, is alive forevermore. And he would come to us and bring great changes. What a wonderful change in our lives has been done since Jesus came into our hearts, and he continues to do. He is risen. And I think we get to the point where we say, I know he's risen because look at my soul. It's really dead in a mess without him. But with him, look at my soul. There's real hope and real love and real joy. And even if you can't believe for yourself, you know, you look around you and you say, Jesus must be alive because look at those people. You know, I know what they're like, and there's something about them that only God can do, only a living Savior. So I wanted to, this morning, thank you for being in God's Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame of children that belong to Him and people changed forever by the risen Lord. And God is faithful through you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for what you mean to us when we face our own mortality. You're there to offer us eternal life. When we face our own aloneness or sin or despair or hell, you're there to say, I know everything of what you're feeling, and you're here to help us. We thank you for your faithfulness, your love, your forgiveness, your free gift of eternal life. Might we continue to be changed by you, Lord, and be a very glad, rejoicing, joyful, loving people. No reason to be that way other than Jesus lives in us as he said he would. So let us have your peace, as you said often after the resurrection. Peace be with you. So we take you with us, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.